Very interesting. This is Forrest Elise interviewing Maria Marino and on June 21st, 2016 at 4:26 p.m. All right. So.
All right, so we're going from the postpartum depression after I had Eden. Well, my husband was really abusive at the time and stuff like that. And when I was, go over there to the other side of the couch, you need it. Go to the other side of the couch, Sophia. Go. Stay there. Kids.
Totally.
But after that, I really did struggle with a lot of depression, like a lot of outbursts, like angry.
Shh.
Be quiet, Sophia. Oh gosh, they keep making me lose my place. After I had Eden, because like I said previously, you know, my ex-husband was abusive, and like the situation I had left him in after I had Jocelyn, you know, because it was a bad domestic dispute. And they say having the new kid, hey, be quiet, quit encouraging her, Jocelyn. Quit it. And then after having Eden, they're saying triggered a lot of that, like, memories, like, flashbacks, stuff like that. A lot of it, like, I guess I wasn't really willing to remember. And I did have to go to a lot of counseling and stuff like that. And I wasn't in a hospital for about a week. Because I had a really bad breakdown. It was like, oh, it was horrible. It was really bad. And, I went out there and I talked a lot and I got put on some medication and stuff. And that really did help. I did the counseling. But then I got pregnant with Sophia. And that was a struggle to come to terms with again. Because I didn't plan on having a fourth kid. Especially since I had my tubes tied. And I really wasn't planning on it. And so I was really honest with my doctor about everything. Like I said, I had a bad birthing experience up here, so I had chosen to go to Scottsdale for my last one. And because Michael's, my mother-in-law worked down there as a medical coder, so it worked out really great for us. And he was a really great doctor. And
so you scheduled an induction?
Yeah, well, we were aware of the depression, so we talked about that, what we were going to do after that. We talked about the birth control. And we talked about deliveries, and they knew that I was a fast delivery because he looked at all my files, and I told him about my pregnancy history. And he asked what I wanted, and like I said, we decided to go ahead, and as long as I haven't had her, he said, if you do go into labor earlier than, like, the last week, he's all like, just go to hospital up there. We'll get you down here somehow. We'll figure it out from there. He's like, but I would like you to be down in the valley in the last week. And so they scheduled for, like, the 26th or no, it was the 27th because I did have her the same day they called me in. We were hoping not until then. So Michael really didn't want to, like I said, like that last couple of weeks of pregnancy, like we had like no sex or nothing. It was just, it was hard on both of us. So, but I mean, he knew, you know, he didn't want me to go into labor up here because he didn't want me to have give birth up here. And so we went down there. We waited for a call. I could got a call anywhere from like 2 a.m. to like 10 a.m. And they didn't call till like 5. And so anyways, I went in and they started inducing me. And the neurologist was getting ready to go on surgery, so he said I can get the epidural now or wait until after. And the nurse suggested at that time do it right then because my labors go fast. So if I go into labor while he's in surgery, it'll be a natural labor. So if you don't want a natural labor, get it now. So I got it then. And I didn't really, it just kind of slowed it down a little bit. It did take a little bit longer for me to go into labor. Once I did go into labor after they broke my water, It was a really quick delivery. She was only like 2 pushes. Sophia was so quick, and the doctor barely made it, and the nurse was really trying not to get me to push, and I felt a really big urge to push, and she didn't want me to, but she's just like, right there. Like, I know I need to push. And she, the doctor finally came in. 1 push, her head was out, and cleaned her up real quick. And 2nd push, she was out really easy. And then the placenta came out really easy, too. It was a really nice delivery. Like, I love the nurses, the doctors. My doctor was just great. He's a really good doctor. I really did like him. He's an older guy. And I mean, he's even been in, like, the Phoenix Best Doctors or whatever. You know, he was on the cover of it one time. Like, he has it in his office or whatever. And he was a great doctor. And after that, you know, breastfeeding went really well with her. And I did try to stay off medication for a really long time, because by the time I had gotten pregnant with her, I had actually weaned off all my medications. So probably maybe a month prior to actually getting pregnant with her, because when we did the timeline, I had actually been finished weaning off all the antidepressants and whatnot that I was on for about a month now. And so I was taking it. I tried not to take anything for the longest time, and I ended up nursing her for a long time before I went back on. Not the full year like I wanted, but so I got some.
Were you worried about postpartum depression?
Oh, yeah. It was a big concern. And, I mean, I really did struggle. I think what worked out really great with helping out with that is, with my ex-husband, he didn't want me to work while I was pregnant at all. And then with Eden, I was working at a bookstore / coffee shop. But I kept getting really sick all the time. And, you know, morning sickness was just horrible. It's a terrible thing. So I quit over there, and I didn't work, and I stayed home for a lot of time with all the kids, and that's really hard. And so I think what really helped this time was I was working at the time at the casino, and I was able to go back to work and not have to stay home all the time. I had something to look forward to after delivering and stuff like that. And, you know, my job was awesome. Like, if she was really, fussy or something like that, and he just couldn't get her to eat anything, because she had a hard time taking a bottle. Eden had a hard time taking a bottle, and she had to get put on a bottle. But if she just wouldn't eat for Michael, then he would just bring her down there, and I would go sit in one of the rooms, and I'd get to nurse her and stuff like that. And I could either put up my little sign and forward all my calls in the hotel, or if there's someone else working with me, it didn't really matter. It's a hotel. It's not hard work. At least in my opinion, it wasn't. And then that really helped a lot. It really did, being able to go back to work. And my husband was a stay-at-home dad for a long time.
Did it also help knowing that you had a plan, which was to, ultimately get the hysterectomy?
Mm-hmm. That helped a lot, too, knowing that I wasn't getting pregnant again. And especially just talking to Michael, because before it was just like, oh, I just don't want more kids. I just don't want more kids. And then, you know, in the back of your head, you're like, you're still young. You might change your mind there. But, you know, with the way Michael put it with me, you know, you have 4 kids. If, we break up and you go and you have another kid with somebody else and you guys break up, then you're stuck with another kid. And who knows if he's going to be taking care of them. He's like, I'll always take care of my kids. He's like, no. And I know his family would always help. Michael comes from a really good family. So, just the way he put it, though, it's just like, you know, I don't want that to happen to you. You're a good mom now. 4, I think, is really good for you. And it's like, you know, he adjusted really well to going from no kids to 2, then 3, and then 4 pretty quickly, you know. And
was his family supportive of you? I mean, did they accept you whenever?
Yeah, his family was very supportive. You know, it's a good, decent relationship. His mom is really close to Eden because it's her first grandchild. Like, they're so close. But now they recently moved to Texas, probably about a year ago almost. And so it's been a while since she's actually seen her grandma. She came here about a month ago or so. She was really close to her grandma because her grandma used to live up here, And that she was such a big help with, like, babysitting and everything is awesome. And then his other side of the family, his dad's side of the family, was really nice. They're very welcoming. And that, it really did help. And by the time I had Sophia, me and Michael were married after I finally said yes. I was maybe like 6, 7 months pregnant when I finally said yes, and when he had given me the ring. And I went to work the next day after he had given me the ring, and I got a phone call at work. And he's all like, hey. He's all like, next week Thursday at 10 o'clock. He's like, we got an appointment at the courthouse to get married. I'm like, next week? He's all, yeah. And he knew I didn't want to plan a wedding. He knew if I ever got married again, I'd rather elope. I don't want to do a whole wedding thing. Eventually I told him we'll do like a wedding and everything like that, like a show and whatnot. But not now. I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, I don't want to plan a wedding. No way. So when I finally said yes, I think he really wanted to seal the deal really quick. So because he had already paid for everything, he already done everything, you know, it was all set to go. All I had to do was sign and wait for the paper to come back and then go. And we were married like a week later. And then actually the day we got married, my mom and dad were supposed to be our witnesses because my mom and dad are really old. And we wanted them to actually see me get married this time. Because the first time I got married is up in Washington on Woodby Island. It's fun. It's right there on the beach at a Deception Pass in Woodby Island. It's really pretty.
How old are your parents? Were you just, they're like late in life?
My mom, well, my, I'm not close with my real mom. I'm not. And that's actually, you know, my grandparents raised me, my grandma and grandpa. So I call them mom and dad. My biological mom never raised me, and my biological father, he didn't raise me either, and I didn't know them very well. And when I was like 14, he had actually shot himself, so I never really knew him. But I have my grandpa, and that was dad to me. And I'm not close with my biological mom, like, at all, even though, like, I could show you right now, like, the house I grew up in. It's like, you can see her right over there. She's over on the hill. And then my biological mom lives 3 houses down.
Were you raised on the reservation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all grew up right there. I was a third for her. I don't know why she didn't raise me. Keep playing with your blankie. It'll warm you up. Put the other one on top of you. Mm-hmm.
She's cute.
She's awesome. She was my little surprise, but she had to be here, I guess.
Are there any, are they Apache?
Yeah, we're all Apache. We're all registered members of the tribe, except for my husband. My husband's the only one who's not. He's white and Mexican, so. But all the kids are. Me and all the kids are, so. It worked out really good.
Were there any traditions surrounding, like, birth? That they shared with you?
Yeah, no. Like, a lot of it's lost. A lot of it get passed down. Like, I never learned how to speak Apache. And not very many do. A lot of the traditions were really gone, you know. It was just normal life, you know. Nothing really too special about it. So,
when you reflect back on your experiences... And sometimes we'll ask people, this is a very tough question. Can you come up with, like, a word or a phrasing of words that kind of describes your experience? Because part of the project is putting these stories into, like, themes, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, themes that emerge. Sometimes this question helps us, like, faith or connection or trauma or sensory, like, the physicality of the experience. Is there anything that comes to mind?
I think it affectionate. You know, I didn't grow up... Growing up on a reservation, like, considering the age of my parents, you know, they grew up on an old reservation. They grew up... you know, they're really old Indians. Like, they're elders. You know, you listen to your elders. They're very old, and... it was a really rough life for them. And there just wasn't a whole lot of affection. Like, I think one thing that really frustrates my husband, which was something I still had a hard time with, was, like, really affection, like, touching. Touching was a really hard thing.
Yeah, you can just turn the knob down.
Yeah, affection, like, and it really wasn't, you know, my mom, like, my grandma, like, keep in mind, she's, like, old, you know, to her, when you raise kids, you know, it wasn't abuse back then, you know, but I did get constantly hit by my mom, and my dad would constantly get mad at her for it, and it was a struggle growing up, because there just wasn't, a whole lot of affection there, and when I'm with my ex-husband, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of, like, I think I fell for him really hard because I was still young, just because he was affectionate towards me, and, you know, my parents really weren't, like, I knew they loved me, but it was, I mean, my mom still have a strained relationship, but, or my grandma, but I call her mom, I don't really talk to my real mom, whatever, I care less. She has her own issues she can deal with. But he grew up in, like, a very affectionate household. Like, his mom and dad, like, I guess, like, what he would tell me when they grew, you know, his dad always loved his mom. Always held her, put his arms around her, touched her, kissed her. You know, it was always very affectionate, very loving, you know. And that's how they grew up, and they were used to it and stuff like that. And, you know, my ex-husband didn't touch me in a very loving way, you know. So touch for me was a really, affectionate touch was a really big issue. And it's a struggle still, but it's better. And my husband's a very affectionate person. And it took a very long time for me to get comfortable, I guess, with him touching me. Like, just, like, rubbing me or anything like that. And then, I was just being comfortable with my own skin. Like, I never understood how you love me because I was, like, so uncomfortable, you know, and it worried me, like, I don't like him touching me, like, that's so, you know, image was a big thing, you know, and it took a long time for me to get over it and to realize, you know, he really does love me, and he's a very affectionate guy. He really is, and yeah, it frustrated him for a long time that I really didn't like him, like, touching me or, like, rubbing me or putting his hand or anything on me. You know, it was a struggle for a really long time. But we've managed to get on. But that's, I think, one thing with the nursing, the intimacy, like, I enjoyed nursing. I didn't nurse Jonathan very long. It's a struggle nursing Jonathan. Again, I think a lot of it was, like, the affection, the touching, and, you know, having to, like, expose my breasts, and then being only, like, 19 and your first kid, and it wasn't a healthy relationship, and being married already by 19, you know, it was a lot to take in. It really was. And I did enjoy the nurse. I enjoyed that quiet time, that, but it was hard with Jocelyn. It got a little bit easier because I knew more what to expect with nursing, you know, and how it felt a little bit more, and, you know, I did better with her, and I enjoyed it, and Jocelyn, you know, she's a very affectionate, very sensitive girl, so I think that really helped a lot, because she's very loving, and having to give her that affection, you know, with Eden, it was great, too. And, I mean, she's really close with her grandma, though. She really is, when her grandma was here. And her grandma took her a lot when she was a baby because it helped us out a lot. It really did. And then after I had Sophia. With Sophia, just, God, it's such a great experience nursing Sophia. And I think now, like, with Sophia, she really is, like, my most affectionate child. Like, with me, like, me and her really do have a very good, like, loving bond, you know, because I did nurse her the longest, and
it seems like,
yeah, that, I mean, that was the biggest thing, though, was just affection. I had to be affectionate. I really wasn't an affectionate person, like, not at all. So that was like a really big thing that like the kids really did kind of help me learn. And then, you know, my husband really did help push with that because he's like, you know, I want to be affectionate around my kids. He's like, because I want my kids to be affectionate, you know. He's like, I want my kids to see me, like, touching you and loving you and kissing you. And he's just like, you never saw that. And I'm like, you know, my parents were old. They didn't, in their old ways, they don't do that stuff no more, you know. So...
No, it really seems like you've, you know, almost been, like, in a long-term, like, recovery, really, from things that have transpired in your past and, like, growing into the person you are today, and that your family's really helped you to...
It really has, and, like, I'm really different than my family. I'm really different than my mom and my sisters. A lot of it is because of Michael. He really did help me come into my own. Like being a mom and stuff like that. My family, I'm just not like them. It wasn't a healthy.
Okay, you done?
It wasn't that healthy of an environment, I would say. You don't realize it at the time, you know. But when you think back, you realize. And then there's stuff you remember that you have just forgotten. You're just like, wow. You're like, was my childhood really like that bad? Like realizing I didn't grow up without a dad, you know. That was something different. And then, like, you know, I never thought of my grandma and grandpa as my grandma and grandpa, you know? And as far as my mom goes, like, I'm my mom's, you know? And I don't think she really tried to help with giving me that relationship with my biological mom, which is, you know, her oldest daughter. You know, I don't think... I think she was happy to have me with her because I think it gave her, like, a second chance at parenting. Because with the, like, environment, like, they raised, you know, my real mom and then my two sisters, they were, like, heavy drinkers. They partied a lot. You know, it wasn't... They were very abusive towards each other. My sister saw that a lot. You know, it really did... affect them profoundly to this day. You like, they have a lot of problems. Like, my mom has a lot of mental issues going on, and I'm my mom's caretaker now. My sister, well, actually, she'd be my aunt, but I think just because the way she grew up and because it really wasn't an affectionate environment, like, she's never had a relationship. She herself started partying and drinking and doing drugs, and she was very young, you know, and she's, my mom was very abusive towards her, I know that, and she doesn't have any kids, and she abuses alcohol and pills, and now, maybe like with almost 2 years now, I mean, the abuse finally gave her like 2 strokes and a couple heart attacks, so now she's in a wheelchair, and she can't use her left arm, and I am her caretaker now, and... she's never had to really work hard, and just growing up with my mom and stuff like that, the way she did with my mom at the time, she's gonna need someone to take care of her. She doesn't have those life skills. My other sister, or my other aunt, the youngest of the three, I mean, she's all right. She graduated high school, and she's all right. I mean, and her marriage, it's not an affectionate marriage. It's not. Her husband grew up in the same kind of environment. Like, his parents did drugs. He lost them early. He lost his sister. You know, so they don't have a very affectionate relationship. So I can see the pattern in that. And I didn't really grow up like that. I didn't see the abuse, but I didn't get the affection from it either. So,
yeah.
I mean, I really see, like, my mom never breastfed. She said that was something she was told, like, not to do that. Don't do that. That's not right. You shouldn't expose yourself like that. You know, talking about sex was like a no. No, we don't talk about that nasty stuff. We don't do that. You don't do that nasty stuff. It's, you know, my mom and dad. You know, and then getting pregnant early. Oh, my God. That really, you know. And I, at the time, too, I have a, biologically, like, my real mom, like, she has 3 kids. I'm the youngest of 3. I have an older brother. He's the oldest. Let's see. He's 30. No, he's 31 now. I think he just turned 31. But just because, like, I never really did have that relationship with them. Like, I grew up in a house, like, you can see right here, right on top of this hill. And they live right down this road. Even when I was growing up, my biological mom and dad lived right down here. And, you know, my older brother, I'm not close with at all. I try here and there. My older brother actually did... He was a heavy drug user for a long time, and he was a horrible person. And actually, he used to party with my ex-husband. Once I introduced him to my ex-husband when I had first met him, and they used to party together. And my brother knew about the abuse, and he did like nothing. He didn't care. So it's in a terrible relationship. My sister, who's a year older than me. Me and her used to be pretty close as a kid. She struggles a lot with drugs, meth and heroin, stuff like that. Wow. She recently just got out of rehab. Me and her were pregnant at the same time with our first. They're both 9 now. They were both born in January. She had a girl. My biological mom is raising her. My sister just recently got out of rehab. And so she's up in Prescott right now trying to recover. She's in like an outpatient type thing up there right now. I don't know what's going to happen with my niece, you know.
Can I ask you a question? Was your ex physically abusive mm-hmm. or mentally abusive?
Oh, both. Oh, he was terrible. He was, but, you know, I mean, Jonathan understands, but I do watch what I say around him about his real dad because I don't want him to, like, get older. Go put it in the room. Sophia, go play in the room with it.
They're okay. We probably should.
Yeah, I probably should. Soon. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, we didn't grow up in a healthy, it wasn't a healthy environment growing up.
Clearly.
It really wasn't. I mean, there was a lot of alcohol. Yeah, I had my trouble with alcohol. No, just be quiet.
Do you feel like you've, you know, because of your kids and your husband now that you've become, that you've taken like a different life path that could have happened?
And you, oh, I'm way more disciplined with my kids than my sister is or than my mom was with us. I pay a lot more attention to my kids. I think it's because I really wanted a lot of attention from my mom and dad, but I never got, my dad was, his affection was money. Because my dad seasonally with money and stuff like that. My mom was, So, you know, I'm definitely different on that aspect. I don't constantly buy them stuff. You know, it was a very unhealthy eating habit growing up. And I had always been overweight. You know, by the time I was like in 7th, 8th grade, I was like 200 pounds. And by the time I was like in high school, I was like 215 or something. It was terrible. You know, I didn't learn about diet or nothing like that. And I really did change that a lot because I did get healthier. So I really don't. And I see them right now. Like I said, I take care of my mom and my sister now, and I see they struggle a lot. Sophia, be quiet. They struggle a lot with their health and stuff, and I know I don't want to. So that's really changed as far as I try to get them to eat really well and better than at least when I grew up. You drink a lot of water. I was never encouraged to drink water. I encouraged my kids to drink lots of water. You know, and like, myself tried to lose weight. Now I'm only like 180 pounds. And I told my husband, I was like, I can't remember the last time I actually weighed that much. Like, it's been a long time. He was like, yeah. He was like, I remember you in school. We're a big girl. I'm like, I know, right? And I was like, you never thought I looked this good. And he just laughs at me. I was like, he always was just like, I was like, you were pretty. So, but yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
It was
a big thing.
That statement, that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's sweet to mm-hmm. end on. That, you know, the relationship you and your husband have is very sweet. And I think that
it's you talk just about difficult. The affection. Yeah.
Look, relationships are challenging. You mm-hmm. know, I've not talked to one woman who does not have things to talk about in terms of the challenges of marriage or relationship, you know?
Yeah, it does. And You know, I thank him, though, for putting up with me. Like, it's been a lot. Like, I've had my issues. The depression was a big thing for me. And self-harm was a big thing for me as far... Like, I never did drugs. I mean, yeah, pothead, whatever. You know, I... As far as doing... Oh, God, everything just scares me. And, like, you know, I see my sister right now. My one... My aunt, who I call sister. The one who I take care of who's in a wheelchair, you know. Her addiction is pills. And I'm so glad I never got into that because I... Now, I mean, I have a key to a lockbox that keeps all her pills in it, and I cannot let her have access, and I have her medical power of attorney. I had to get warnings out to where nobody else could pick up medication for her because she, like, thank God. But, you know, self-harm was a big thing for me that I used to cope with. I didn't use, like, drugs or anything, you know. Alcohol, yeah, but cutting was probably a bigger thing. So
yeah, I mean, I totally get that. You know, yeah. People have to find ways of coping.
Yeah, it's been a struggle, but you know what? It's worth it. I mean, the kids are good. They're actually really well behaved. They're very energetic. They're very happy kids. They're very outgoing, and they're very smart and happy. So.
What's the ice, Mom?
I don't know, melted.
It's all melted.
My ice melted.
What?
I didn't eat it.
That's so crazy. I think you drank it.
I think my ice.
Well, your kids are adorable. And yeah, it does seem
very
like they
energetic.
Have a...
I'm definitely like way more stricter with them. I definitely pay a lot of attention to them because that's what I wanted.
Yeah, and we're always trying to...
Yeah, I never really... Yeah.
Perfect timing.
So,
yeah. Was she gone?
No.
Oh, wait.
Dinner time.
So. Okay. I think we can stop there.
All right.
Yeah, it's perfect.